All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Housing Commission Board meeting of September 8th, 2017. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Let the record show that we have a quorum this morning, only with Vice Chair Surdy with excused absence. And so with that, let me ask if any of the commissioners have any comments. And before we'll go back to the public comment area. Any comments from the commissioners? Okay, hearing none, then I'll open it up to public comment. Anybody from the public wishing to address the commission to may come forward. I have one request so far, and that is from Martha Welch. Martha? Welcome.
Martha Welch, I'm walking back the rules you have in San Diego. It's you have years deferable. You're stop all the deferable. You have AMM to stop people getting in because you can't do that because the AMI is too high. Also, there's tiers, and it's up to the manager. Now, it's popularity because the manager tells what happens for him. So you have tiers. And then if they like you, get Section 8. That's how it works. And if you call the housing about Section 8, you can call it if you're blue because no one answers. Now, also, atmosphere. What you did in L, beach or boarding now, it's not safe because there's not enough fire happens. The equipment can't go in there. It's only about 3 feet on one side. It's not safe. This is what you do. Also, on Park 8, 380 is the same thing. An L against that building is really close to it. Same thing. It's an L. And that's what you do here. You don't do this right. No one else would do these things that you do in San Diego, and it stops affordable housing. If you want to have homeless, how can they make AMI to get into a place? It's now. Now, Talmadge Gateway, maybe they went in there because I saw they were in there and they couldn't make that up. Maybe they changed rule on that one. Maybe that's changing. But right now, you can't call. It's ridiculous. You can't get help from the housing.
Thank you. All right. With that, I have no other requests from anybody wishing to address the commission under public comment. We'll move on to the report by the President, Chief Executive Officer today, filled by Mr. Jeff Davis. Jeff.
Thank you. And first, I'll address why I'm sitting here. This morning, our President and CEO, Rick Gentry, is in Washington, D.C. for a meeting with the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. U.S. Representative Juan Vargas is a member of that caucus. Rick is one of 8 public housing authority executives from across the country who are meeting with the members of the caucus to discuss housing needs and the federal budget for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. U.S. Representative Adriano Espelet of New York, who is the chair of the caucus's Transportation, Infrastructure, and Housing Task Force, personally invited Rick to participate in this meeting. Mr. Gentry is also continuing his legislative advocacy efforts at the state level. He collaborated with the San Diego County Supervisor Ron Roberts and City Council Member Chris Ward to co-author a commentary in support of Senate Bills 2 and 3. The Voice of San Diego published the commentary on their website on August 21st. By way of reminder, SB 2, the Building Homes and Jobs Act, would generate an ongoing source of funding for the development of affordable housing by establishing a $75 recording fee on each transaction. This would exclude home sales, by the way. The maximum total fee for any individual transaction would be $225 per parcel. SB 3, the Affordable Housing Bond Act of 2018, would create a $3 billion statewide housing bond proposal subject to voter approval in the November 2018 statewide general election. Chairman Urtasun and Mr. Gentry joined County Supervisor Ron Roberts, City Councilmember Georgette Gomez, former Councilmember Marty Emerald, and our development partners for the groundbreaking of Vista Del Puente on August 3rd. This partnership development in San Diego's South Crest neighborhood will create 51 new affordable units. Nearly 75% of the rental units at Vista Del Puente will serve formerly homeless individuals, 26 homeless veterans, and 12 non-veteran homeless families. and these rental apartments will remain affordable for at least 55 years. Vista Del Puente is an important part of Housing First San Diego, our homeless action plan. The Housing Commission awarded 38 federal housing vouchers to help formerly homeless residents pay their rent, and also invested $4 million in a loan through Housing First San Diego toward the development of Vista Del Puente. On August 2nd, the groundbreaking ceremony was held for Park and Market, a 34-story high-rise development just a few blocks south of here. Park and Market will set aside 85 of its 426 apartments as affordable housing for low-income families. These 85 units will remain affordable for 55 years for families with income up to 50% of the area median income. On May 5th, 2017, this board authorized the issuance of $216 million in tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds toward the development of Park and Market. And this is the largest bond issuance in the Housing Commission's 38-year history. The groundbreaking ceremony also highlighted a new satellite campus for the University of California, San Diego that will also be co-located at the site. And finally, I would like to congratulate the Housing Commission's Procurement Department for receiving national recognition. The department received the 2017 Achievement of Excellence in Procurement Award from the National Procurement Institute. This award honors organizations that demonstrate excellence in innovation, professionalism, productivity, and e-procurement. The department is overseen by our Vice President Deborah Fischel Falk, and the day-to-day operations are overseen by our Director Marcel Gresham. We want to thank everyone in the Procurement Department for its dedication to excellence and congratulate you on this well-earned award. And that concludes my comments.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. I see the smiles of pride in the room, and so I can see who's had their hand in that. So congratulations to you. That's wonderful news. Okay, folks, moving on from the President and CEO's report, let's go on to the approval of the minutes of the meeting of July 28th, 2017. Any corrections to those minutes? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve. Motion by Commissioner Moraga, second by Commissioner Walsh. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay, let's go on to the consent agenda. And for the consent agenda today, the chair is proposing that we handle items 100 and 101 on the consent agenda. Any comments or corrections? Any commissioners feel otherwise? Okay, then hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adopt those two items on consent. Commissioner Davis, Commissioner Hubbard, thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Let's go on to item 102. Mr. Davis, who's going to handle that?
Good morning. I think because a large part of this is legal, I'll go ahead and at least start. Mike Pavko, Senior Vice President, is also here to discuss any specific questions the board may have. As the board knows, there is an affiliate nonprofit of the Housing Commission named Housing Development Partners that's involved in doing some very good work in developing additional affordable housing in the city of San Diego. And as a result of that, and as a result of growth of the Housing Commission, there's a need for additional office space that is not available in this building. As a result of that, there was a search done by a broker that was retained by the Housing Commission, CBRE, and Mr. Evan Knutson was the broker that was involved in this. They did a search of the market, the very tight commercial market downtown, and came up with a proposal to lease 3,908 net rentable square feet in office space located at 701 B Street on the fifth floor, suite 503. The terms, we've asked the broker to analyze the terms that were offered and that were negotiated here. The owner started out with a higher number. It was negotiated down. This lease starts with a $2.45 per square foot rental amount in the first year. It goes up over the period of 5 years and 4 months each year by 4%, which is standard within the industry today. I happen to personally know this is a good deal because we recently negotiated a deal at 550 West C Street on the 16th floor, and they beat our deal. So next time we re-up, I'm going to have Mike come in and work with us. It was
closer.
Yeah, he was. And so anyway, very, 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 very good deal. There's free rent included here too, which is good. It's 5 years and 4 months. The reason for the 4 months is that's basically the free, 4 months is a free rent that's being obtained over the period of the lease. There's a tenant improvement allowance included, which is $35,172, which is approximately $9 per rentable square foot. That's within the realm of reasonableness. There'll be three unreserved parking spaces will be available to the commission at whatever the market is for those spaces, which is also standard in the industry here in San Diego. So in short, in view of the tight rental market and because of the need of the commission, it has recommended that the board go ahead and approve the recommendations, and those are to approve execution of the lease by the executive director and chief of staff, and it's also to authorize general counsel to review and comment upon the lease. We've already done that. We're waiting for this board action to see whether it's approved or not. If it is today, comments will go over to the landlord. We're hopeful that this will be a very quick negotiation on the lease term. At terms, and as a matter of fact, they're very standard as well. And we're asking that any budgetary actions that are necessary to cause this to go forward be approved. The 2018 approved budget will increase by almost $115,000, moving from reserves over for this use. And I might indicate that HDP will be either subleasing a portion of this space and paying for it, or there's an MOU that the board may be aware of between HDP and the commission, which allows for a sharing of overhead space. So to the extent the commission incurs costs that are really HDP's, HDP reimburses the commission 100% of those dollars. So the net effect of this for HDP-related work being done in the new space will be a zero net sum gain to the loss to the commission. So with all that, I open it up to questions, and I would urge the board's approval.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. We're talking about a five-year, four-month lease with a one-year, one-term, time, five-year extension opportunity for 3,908 square feet at 701 B Street. Mr. Pafko? Do you wish to add any more to that?
Well, I think Chuck summed it up pretty well. It was a good negotiation overall. We looked at over a dozen properties with different owners throughout the downtown area, and you can actually see the building right here. It's the Bank of America building, just a couple blocks, so it's nice that it's in close proximity to the Housing Commission. Also, as Chuck pointed out, they conceded on all of our requests, including a large sum of money, $3,500 for furniture, fixtures, and equipment, $2.45 per square foot rate, which was lower than the original asking, the renewal for the five-year term, and the parking. So, yeah, we were very happy with the negotiation, and we'd be excited to acquire the space.
Aside from your organization, who else are we anticipating from the commission? What other department are we anticipating utilizing the space?
Yeah, so it'll be the entire development department. So half of that is HDP. The other half is our development services, which works on recapitalization of the Housing Commission assets.
Okay, thank you. There you have it, commissioners. Any questions, Mr. Marga?
Just a quick question before approval. Can you guys talk about the space that is being vacated and what your plans are with that?
I'm sorry, the space being vacated?
In this building.
Yeah, it's part of the growth plan.
Oh, when they move out of it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we currently have staff doubled up in cubicles. working in conference rooms, so this space will allow them to have their own workspace.
Any further questions? I have a motion by Commissioner Moraga, second by Commissioner Davis. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Pavko.
Great, thank you.
All right, commissioners, let's go on to item 103. This is a request to approve the acquisition and transfer of the Quality Inn and the West Park Inn under the terms and conditions that are laid out in our staff report. Mr. Pavko, are you handling this as well?
I am.
Please.
Great. Well, good morning, commissioners. I'm excited to present a proposal for two properties located in Bankers Hill area. And the action items in front of you are to allow for staff to expend up to $15.9 million for the purchase of the two properties. This is the Quality Inn in West Park. They're located on 4th Avenue in Bankers Hill between Fir and Elm Street. Also authorize the Housing Commission to enter into a ground lease with the nonprofit affiliate Housing Development Partners to operate the property. And record covenants on the property to keep it affordable at or below 80% of AMI for the next 65 years. So as I mentioned, the properties, as you can see here, are located at 1830 and 1840 on 4th Avenue. They're immediately next to another Housing Commission and HDP asset, New Palace Hotel. So we are able to have efficiencies in having properties nearby. You can see on the map here, they're north of the 5 and just a couple blocks from Balboa Park, so a really nice location. And just a few details about the property. So both assets were constructed around 1990 and are immediately adjacent to each other, although they're on separate parcels and they're not connected. They contain a total of 139 units. There is 92 units at Quality Inn and 47 at West Park. They're currently being operated as market-rate nightly hotels, but will be primarily vacant when the Housing Commission acquires. There are currently no affordability restrictions on the properties. The units are studios and are typical of what you would expect to see in a hotel, but they do contain individual bathrooms and will come furnished. The Housing Commission intends to restrict the units at 80% of AMI, but the intended use is for homeless at or below 30% of AMI. We've had preliminary conversations with the county and Civic San Diego. We intend to operate these as permanent supportive housing. So some other key benefits of the projects. They advance key objectives of the Commission's current Housing First San Diego plan to address homelessness, which set aside $25 million in that plan for acquisitions of permanent supportive housing projects. The properties provide an opportunity to immediately house homeless individuals, and those displaced from market rate conversions of SRO buildings. We found in our search of properties that it's rare to be able to find hotels and those that can be immediately vacant. Oftentimes you'll acquire a property and there'll be some type of relocation that's associated with this, so we're quite pleased that we can immediately start housing people. Because the units are currently market rate, these properties will create new affordable housing at a relatively low cost per door. The sites are in a great location, downtown, and they're immediately adjacent to Balboa Park, as I mentioned. They're also in close proximity to social services, so a number of our service partners, including serving seniors, St. Paul Pace, are all in that neighborhood. You also have a family health center nearby and the Sharp Medical Facilities. So just a few of the financial highlights. The total purchase price of the properties are $15.19 million. The appraised value is 15.7, or approximately $113,000 a door. The estimated voucher rents are 706 for an SRO or 942 for a studio apartment. And based on our market scan, the estimated market rents are between 760 and $1,300 for this type of a unit, which is 250 square feet or less. The Housing Commission is going to provide 100% rental subsidy for the project, so we'll be able to keep these affordable to the folks that are at or below 30% of AMI. These are just a couple of pictures of the properties. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them or if you've driven by them, but they're in good condition, currently being operated as nightly hotels. This is West Park Inn. This is the one that's just south. And you can sort of see the separation between the two buildings. So they are separate on separate parcels. There'll be two separate acquisitions. This is Quality Inn. Has a really nice courtyard, open space area, which we really like. There's also sort of a community room that's being used for continental breakfast and that sort of thing, but we'll be able to have social services that are there when we acquire the property and have a meeting space for the residents. These are some of the units. The quality inside had been recently renovated, so we have new flooring. There's nice furnishings in here. Bathroom fixtures, cabinetry have already been replaced. And you can see the quality in on the West Park side. These are nice assets. We'd be very proud to own these. These are the furnishings on the West Park side. A little bit older, but still adequate. And that concludes the presentation. So I'm happy to answer any questions or comments.
Thank you, Mr. Pavko. So 139 units of new inventory. This is a big deal, folks, in a close to the urban core. It sounds, staff, no relocation fees that we'll have to pay. We in terms of improvements, probably be minimal from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, we'll address immediate fire and life safety issues, immediate capital repairs that are associated with buying a property that dates back to 1990. And then next year we intend to have a more comprehensive renovation, which will address building systems and the like. But this will be available for immediate occupancy. And like other assets that we've acquired recently, we'll buy the properties and we'll put a financing plan in place to do a larger renovation. Since the properties are, date back to 1990, there is larger capital improvements that are needed, but they're in good shape and they can be immediately used for housing homeless individuals.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pavko. We have one request to speak from the public, and that is from Martha Welsh. Martha?
Martha Welsh, I'm opposed to this because I don't like things without kitchens. There's no kitchens in these, you know that? How can you cook and live on these rents? 80% is 59. Who would live that? I don't know, because I wouldn't like a kitchen. I would like a kitchen that much, you know. That's why you can't compare the rent, because they have kitchens, and most apartments have kitchens, you know, cooking everything. But now in SRO, you can't do it. And I don't think people would like to live there for years without a kitchen. I don't think it's right with these rents. And now 8% is 50 million, 50,000. I don't want to live there. If I had money that I could fit an apartment, I don't think it's right you're doing with no kitchens.
Thank you, Martha. All right, commissioners. Mr. Pavko, did you want to?
I was just going to comment, and thank Martha for her comments, but we do intend to add kitchenettes as part of the renovation. Across the street at the New Palace Hotel, we were able to facilitate that. So we've kind of come up with a new model through our conversions, and that allows us to get the higher studio rents. But there's streamlined kitchenettes that provide a refrigerator, a stovetop, cooking, and microwave. So we're excited to do that. Also, I'd like to introduce Emily Jacobs and Josh Hoffman, who recently came from Studio E. He was the architect for Hotel Churchill, so we're happy to have them on board. They're really the ones that are driving this. So,
thank you. Okay, commissioners, there you have it. Yes, Ms. Davis?
I'm just curious. I realize you say in the future there'll be refurbishing of everything, but has there been a general inspection of the building's plumbing and electrical to be sure there's no big surprises?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you. Yeah, we did a comprehensive need assessment that looked at all of the building systems, the plumbing, the HVAC, and a number of other things, including mold, asbestos, and any environmental concerns. It really was a top-to-bottom analysis. And to your point, what we're going to do before we move people in is address some of the immediate capital repairs that are necessary, and then address some of the larger items, such as like the plumbing and things like that, that need to be updated after 27 years.
Okay, any other questions? Commissioner Walsh.
Yeah. There's been a great deal of press in San Diego over the last few years over the issues of homelessness. This is a problem San Diego's facing along with many other cities in the country. We're not unique in that aspect. And I think the commission, along with local elected officials, put forth a housing first model. It's an innovative, creative model to address this. And this is an excellent example of executing that model. Taking SROs, taking properties that are available downtown, quickly turning them over so we can get individuals that are on the street off the street. I think that's exactly what we're here to do, and I just want to applaud the staff and the commission for the work they're doing on it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Mr. Pavko's trying to hold his enthusiasm here, but I think he'd
agree with you.
I kind of think he'd agree with you.
Yeah. Well, I get so many opportunities.
Yeah, these don't come around all the time. This is definitely a great opportunity. I have a commissioner A motion by Commissioner Moraga, second by Commissioner Benvenuto. Any further discussion? Any other input? All right. All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Congratulations.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay, commissioners, we're going on to item 104. This is an informational report. It's a workshop and discussion addressing the housing affordability crisis for the San Diego housing production objectives for 2018 through 2028.
Welcome. Good morning, Chair Ortassin,
Wendy,
commissioners, Mr. Davis, and Mr. Christensen. Our first workshop today is on housing production objectives for the City of San Diego. You may recall the number one action step in the Housing Commission's report addressing the housing affordability crisis, an action plan for San Diego, was to set housing production target goals for the city and then to track those goals against progress made. So that is what we're here to talk to you about today. In collaboration with City Council members Scott Sherman and David Alvarez, and researchers at McKinsey Global Institute, we've produced a report on housing production targets for the City of San Diego. I'm excited to introduce today Jenny Vanderhyde. She is a Housing Commission Senior Policy Analyst. She's been here just over a year now. She came to us directly from Berkeley, where she received her master's in public policy. And she's really hit the ground running with us and will present the housing production target report for you this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Witt. Ms. Vanderhyde, welcome.
Thanks, Wendy. Good morning, Chair Tassin, Commissioners, Mr. Davis, and Mr. Christensen. My name is Jenny Vanderhyde, and I'm the Senior Policy Analyst here at the San Diego Housing Commission. On November 25th, the Housing Commission released a report titled Addressing the Housing Affordability Crisis, an Action Plan for San Diego. There were 11 action items identified at the local, state, and federal level that would address the high cost of housing production throughout the City of San Diego. Progress has been made to date on 9 of these 11 action items, and I'm here today to update you on efforts to address the first of those action items, which is that the city set housing production goals that are tracked and can be measured throughout. The Housing Commission, in collaboration with Council Members Scott Sherman and David Alvarez, Chair and Vice Chair of the Smart Growth and Land Use Committee, respectively, studied the city's housing needs, as well as the rate of citywide production needed to meet those needs. The study then reviewed possible sources of new housing and identified bottlenecks during the housing development process. Lastly, the study found possible opportunities for action that would unlock additional housing production and provided neighborhood-level target goals. The Housing Commission is preparing a new report on this study, which will be titled Addressing the Housing Affordability Crisis, San Diego Housing Production Objectives 2018 to 2028. Recent housing production levels have not kept up with population growth. Over the past decade, population growth has averaged 1.2% per year, and this rate is more than double the rate of housing growth, which is at just 0.5% per year. In October 2011, the San Diego Association of Governments completed its 2010 to 2020 Regional Housing Needs Assessment. It's a state-mandated process that determines housing need across the City of San Diego. The assessment's numbers are forward-looking only and does not account for an existing backlog that's created during years in which the city does not meet its production targets. The Housing Commission's new study includes this shortfall together with the assessment's numbers, and it uses this figure as a minimum low-case number of units that the city would need to produce in order to fully meet housing need. An additional shortfall was identified if the City of San Diego were to provide a similar level of housing as comparable peer cities. After studying cities that are similar to San Diego with respect to population, income growth, and housing burden, the study found that San Diego is currently underproducing the number of units per capita when compared to these peer cities. Within the last 5 years, the city's peak annual production rate was approximately 6,400 units. Even during years, if we projected forward using these peak production figures, the city could expect approximately 65,000 units by 2028, so 10 years from now. In order to adequately meet the demand for housing in the city of San Diego, production rates would need to gradually increase to between 17,000 and 24,000 units by 2028. Given figures identified in the study, San Diego's true 10-year housing need based on population growth is estimated to be between 140,000 and 220 additional units by 2028. The main takeaway here is that even during years of peak production, the city would fall short within 10 years. One of the results of the shortage of housing supply is that nearly 50% of San Diego households are unable to find rental housing at rates that they can afford. This percentage increases to approximately 60% of San Diego households when we look at home ownership. Those figures don't include the cost of a down payment, and we could expect that our figures would decrease if we did include those numbers. The low supply of housing has a number of negative impacts. As San Diegans move further away from the city's employment centers, they spend more time commuting longer distances, and their quality of life is degraded. They have less time to spend with family and friends and spend a larger portion of their income on transportation costs. Understandably, the environment is also negatively impacted, and the increased use on the city's infrastructure creates a greater strain on public resources. Employers have identified the high cost of housing as a constraint on their ability to find and recruit the individuals that they need. In addition, the city loses out on potential revenue, as well as the direct construction jobs that would otherwise be created in an environment of greater housing production. While the city's housing needs are significant, the good news is that the city has the capacity to meet those needs within the next 10 years. Potential new units would draw on five main sources. These include rezoning to increase housing density around transit opportunity areas, redeveloping underutilized parcels of land throughout the city, adapting disused light industrial zones, infilling vacant single and multifamily zoned lots, and finally, utilizing detached accessory dwelling units, which are oftentimes referred to as companion units or granny flats. The sources of housing are prioritized in order of impact. And so, for example, we might see that upzoning around transit hubs could create between 47,000 and 146,000 units within the next 10 years. This is compared to companion units, which would only likely yield between 3,000 and 6,000, even at a really full implementation by homeowners. Due largely to the twin sources of rezoning and redeveloping, approximately 40% of the total potential housing capacity throughout the city exists in five centrally located neighborhoods: Mira Mesa, Mission Valley, City Heights, North Park, and Uptown. While the city of San Diego has done much to simplify the housing development process, there are six areas that are listed here that have the potential to unlock additional housing production. The following slides provide an example solution to each of these six bottlenecks. The first of these bottlenecks identified residential parking requirements that can sometimes make housing developments expensive or unfeasible. One possible solution would be for the city to encourage pooled parking exchanges, such as the structure on 30th and University in North Park. The structure allows for local businesses to provide daytime parking to their customers, while residents of nearby housing utilize the structure at night. Another bottleneck is a planning environment that can pose obstacles to a potential housing development's feasibility. A purely density-based model creates disincentives for the construction of smaller units. A possible solution might include moving to a system that uses a floor area ratio model rather than dwelling units per acre. It can encourage the construction of smaller units, and renter vacancy rates throughout the city are half of those in smaller units as those of larger units, and this indicates a strong market demand for units that are a bit smaller, assuming that they're probably also less expensive to rent. A third opportunity for change was found through recent changes to the city's inclusionary housing programs, which have greatly increased the number of affordable units created under the program. The City of San Diego's Development Services Department provides an expedited timeframe for both inclusionary and fully affordable housing developments. As proposals to expand eligibility of the program to all sustainable and infill programs move closer to adoption, the number of applications to the program could increase dramatically. A solution under this bottleneck could be that consideration is given to ensuring that the department is fully resourced and has the capacity to handle additional applications. This might include staffing or IT capacity. For discretionary housing developments, the community input is an important step during land use approvals. One possible mechanism for streamlining this process, for example, could be to focus on process improvements. A model developed by New York City outlines clear timeframes that are enforced by default approval, which encourage more timely decision-making by community planning groups. Regarding bottleneck number 5, sub-optimized development impact fee structures can result in additional housing development costs. By allocating these fees to the anticipated square fee of the unit as opposed to the number of units, the fee structure would no longer penalize small units while also resulting in a fee more closely aligned to the expected unit revenue. Finally, uncoordinated and limited public funding affects the number and speed with which housing units are brought to the market by affordable and nonprofit housing developers. Developing a cross-departmental grants working group composed of local agencies such as the Housing Commission, the City of San Diego, Civic San Diego, and others would increase coordination and maximize local efforts to bring state and federal funds to high-priority housing developments here in the city. Each of these policy changes has the potential to increase affordable and market-rate housing production here in San Diego. To ensure that momentum is maintained on this important issue, the final recommendation is to establish an operating model that ensures housing stakeholders meet at regular intervals and that the group ensures progress is made on each of these identified opportunities and is also tracked. So this has been a very high-level overview of the report, and when it's finalized, it'll have lots of San Diego-specific data. We're really looking forward to sharing that report. I know I've shared a lot of information with you all. I want to thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any of your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Vanderheide. And Ms. DeWitt, I really appreciate the opportunity that you guys have brought this back to us. This has been at the top of our list, and these are not easy things to do, but I'm delighted that we're identifying steps, best practices on how we can identify these kinds of things. Commissioners, questions? Mr. Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. DeWitt. Thank you, Ms. Vanderheide. Excuse the frog in my throat. I have two questions for you.
Absolutely.
The first is a really kind of metric question. One of the shocking statistics you share that me and the chair mentioned on is that 50% of San Diego households, it's on the fourth slide in case you're looking, are unable to find rental housing they can afford. Can you define afford for me, please?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So affordability here is basing the definition off of HUD's definition, which says that households should spend no more than 30% of their gross income on all of their housing costs.
So any family expending over 30% would be in that.
Exactly, okay. And they'd be considered rent burdened.
Thank you. Secondly, on the slide number 8, number 6, just from one individual's anecdotal experience watching funding flow through, and I'd argue mine's pretty good in that experience, that's a huge area of impact that can be quick, and it can allow areas like San Diego to so-called punch above their weight. I like sports metaphors. So, cities such as L.A. or New York have done an excellent job using their size and breadth to pursue federal dollars at our disadvantage. Good for them, right? They're advocating for their constituency. But so that one really excites me, and I look forward to seeing more information on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Benvenuto.
I want to start by congratulating you on a very fabulous first presentation. That was very well done. You should be very proud of yourself. So thank you to the commission staff for following up on the report from 2015. It's great to see not another glossy report set on a shelf and we can keep spinning our wheels. This is a very real problem. I appreciate the follow-up and the thoughtfulness with which you've done this. Two quick questions. For Mission Valley, when you reference its potential to have so many additional units, how much, if any, of that is the Qualcomm site?
So I don't have the specific number from units that would be represented by Qualcomm. For Mission Valley, the report does a much deeper dive in terms of neighborhood-level targets. Mm-hmm. And those top 5 neighborhoods that I mentioned earlier represent 40% of the total housing potential that we found in the report. A good number of that would come from the disused land that Qualcomm represents. So I'm happy to get you the specific number.
Just wanted to see if it was that, or yes. if somehow there's other pockets of space that I didn't know about over in Mission Valley. And secondly, what's your timeline to bring this forward to City Council? I am very excited for them to see these recommendations, and I look forward to their feedback. And I would further wonder if there is any opportunity to bring this to the planning groups who so often have the opportunity to influence, you know, where our new units are going to go, but maybe don't get to see the full picture of where the city's plans are and the city's need. So I don't know if that's feasible, but I'm just curious what your timeline for outreach.
Yeah, absolutely. So this report will be brought forward to Smart Growth and Land Use on September 21st. And regarding the planning groups, I think that's a great point. Part of the exciting portion of this report is that it includes neighborhood-level target goals. And allowing folks to see the big picture is probably a really great way to include buy-in.
Other questions? Okay. Again, really appreciate you bringing this. I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Do we have in the more in-depth report projections of inventory that we would be bringing on by each one of the initiatives?
So that's a great question. The main part of the report looks at how many units would we need within the next 10 years and then puts them on the ground using those five sources that I mentioned earlier. Let's see if I can pull up the photo. Part of the exciting part of the report is that geospatial analysis was conducted, and there are overlays for each of these five sources of housing. So anyone here at the Housing Commission, at City Hall, developers, community members would be able to access this map and use these five overlays as filters to look throughout the city. So that would provide a closer estimation of the numbers.
And also, these main sources are prioritized. They're in order of priority based on how many additional units they would generate. So, for instance, the first one up there, rezoning, would generate between 47,000 and 146,000 additional units. So, yes, they all have unit numbers attached to each recommendation.
Good. I think that's important to keep us on track and keep us accountable for how we're implementing the plan. Is this, are we looking at this thing just within the city of San Diego?
We are.
And are we, obviously that's our jurisdictional responsibility, but the problem is widespread, it's regional. Are we coordinating this kind of effort at all with other cities in the county?
Not specifically this effort, but the Housing Commission prides itself in working with neighboring cities and also with the county more generally.
We have a number of projects that we're working with the county, and we hope to include some of the other smaller surrounding cities. And Debbie will say something right now.
Good morning, Debbie Ruane. I want to point out that none of this is easy. We've got some recommendations in here that are extremely tough, and this is an opportunity for us to collaborate not only more closely with the city and the departments within the city, but also the cities and the county. This report has never been done in the state of California. So when we come out with this list of five and the ability to do that geospatial analysis, it's never been done before. So our hope is that it spreads and that we do share this with all of the cities in the county and the state. The McKinsey folks have been tremendous to work with, but our task is to own this now. They are not lawyers. They are not environmentalists, planners. So we've got to figure out how to make this work for us. And it's not about pointing fingers. It's about pointing out opportunities for innovation and collaboration. We couldn't be happier with the relationship with the city and the city's departments. They're helping us with this. The list of shareholders that we've communicated with exceeds 40, just to get their input so that this is a collaborative report.
Thank you. I think that's well said. You know, we have an opportunity to fill a void and take a leadership role in the region, to, at the very least, share our efforts, promote what we're doing, if not coordinate with others right? Because again, it doesn't matter if you're living within the city of San Diego or the city of Imperial Beach. The problem is a unified problem, understanding what our responsibility is just within our jurisdiction. So I'd encourage that. I think that that's important. So anyway, thank you for your comments on that. Commissioners, any other thoughts? All right, Mr. Witt and Ms. Vanderheide, thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
We appreciate you bringing this back to us. Okay, we will now go on to item 105. This is also an informational item, an update on the San Diego Housing Commission strategic plan from 2016 to 2020. Ms. Rain?
I'm going to start with Mr. Davis.
Okay.
So, commissioners, this is tomorrow will be the one-year anniversary of the board's approval of the San Diego Housing Commission's four-year strategic plan. As you may recall, this plan was developed under the direction of the board's strategic plan committee, chaired by Commissioner Ben Moraga, and including Chairman of the Board Frank Ertassen, Commissioner Keeley Hubbard, and former Commissioners Gary Gramling and Roberta Spoon. Your guidance provided the foundation and framework for this plan, which was further developed with the Housing Commission's strategic planning team and agency staff. This morning, we're pleased to present the first annual update. This is an ambitious four-year plan, and I'm confident that you will be pleased with the progress that we've made thus far. Some examples of the efforts this past year include the following Housing Commission commitments: to impact homelessness with the next phase of Housing First San Diego, to preserve affordable housing with more than $16.4 million in rehabilitation of Housing Commission-owned properties, to support the progress of our families through the Housing Commission's Achievement Academy, and to advocate for effective housing policies, such as Measure M. We want to sincerely thank Commissioner Moraga, for the chair of the board's strategic plan, for his review of our document and his support and comments. And we also want to acknowledge that we have two new commissioners here, so we are including details of the plan itself as along with the updates. So... So Debbie will now lead you through the update.
Good morning. Debbie Ruane, Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer, and Commissioner Walsh and Commissioner Benvenuto, this is a very long presentation, and it's your fault. I will try to go as quickly as I can through it. So thank you, Jeff. This strategic plan provides a framework to identify how this agency can have the greatest possible impact on affordable housing opportunities. The plan includes three major goals. Each slide in this presentation identifies the goal and corresponding objectives that apply to the Housing Commission activities that I'll be discussing. Operational efficiencies and technological innovations are essential elements of our first major goal, and updating our website is an important step towards our objective of enhancing customer service. The first phase of our website update was to move the website to an off-center server in the cloud to make it more secure. This has been completed with no interruption to the public access to the website. Thank you, IT department. We're now under contract with a local company called Power Digital, and are in the process of updating the design of our website to enhance our customer service, our outreach to build awareness and understanding of the agency and our programs, and transparency in government. And this is directly related to the input we've received from Chair Tassin and other commissioners. In addition, on August 28th, our new rental assistance online waitlist portal went live on our website. This portal will allow applicants to submit a new application, update their existing application information, or check their waitlist status from anywhere that they have internet access. And beginning in October, automatic annual updates of the rental assistance waitlist will also be conducted through the new portal. This process will save staff time. Additional website portals for other Housing Commission departments are in the early stages of development. The second objective under our first goal focuses on increasing efficiencies. The Rental Assistance Division is making changes to its process to achieve this objective by the end of the current fiscal year on June 30th, 2018. A consultant was hired to review processes and identify opportunities for improvement. In addition, the Rental Assistance Division held a Kaizen workshop to evaluate current processes. Kaizen refers to a Japanese business philosophy of continuous improvement. Staff restructured teams to enhance customer service and leveraged technology, such as DocuSign, and features in the Yardi software system to reduce time and costs associated with printing and mailing. By the end of this calendar year, we expect to conclude training of staff on the updated processes and will evaluate the impact on operational efficiencies at that time. To support business continuity and personal growth of Housing Commission employees, we developed a career development plan. Employee focus groups, management interviews, and an all-employee survey helped us identify the importance of career development conversations between employees and their direct supervisors. These discussions were incorporated into the fiscal year 2017 employee appraisal process. In addition, an internal career development webpage was launched to provide staff with information about current and future job openings, as well as career development tips and ideas. We will also be developing a learning management system for employees to enhance their skills through free training opportunities. Capital improvements to the Housing Commission's real estate portfolio are essential to the long-term viability of these affordable housing units. In fiscal year 2017, we invested $16.4 million to make improvements at 85 of our properties, totaling 813 units. These efforts impacted over 2,000 of our residents. One of these residents shares her story in a short video I'd like to play for you now.
I have been here. This will be going on my third year.
It was a little depressing, I must say, because they don't look like they look now. They didn't look as nice. And so the floors needed repair and, you know, they were painting. When they first started painting it, we were all talking amongst ourselves because we couldn't picture what it was going to look like with all the different colors. And over time, it just kept getting better and better and better. And one night, I came home. It must have been 10 or 11 o'clock. And I parked my truck and was walking down this pathway and was so startled to see how bright and it looked. It was like a shock almost that it looked so beautiful and so gorgeous at night. And the stars were out. It was a beautiful night. And, you know, it was almost like I wanted to pinch myself and think, is this the same complex I left yesterday? It was that stunningly different. And so whoever did the planning for this, I think should be commended. Oh, I am thrilled. I can't tell you how thrilled I am because we're getting new countertops, new cabinets. Maribel said, you know, new floors after that, I think. I've seen the flooring that's in the laundry room and the office. I just think it's wonderful. It's a real treat. It really is. And to see the, you know, commission taking, you know, pride in the properties that it owns and, you know, living here with the neighbors that I have. I mean, I couldn't ask for a nicer place to live here in San Diego. I couldn't.
So that is a great story of the importance of this work. Looking ahead, we've completed our fiscal year 2018 capital plan with an approved budget of more than $25 million, prioritizing additional enhancements that were identified in our green physical needs assessment of our properties. All right. To plan for capital improvements needs for many years to come, we've completed an analysis that is essential for our long-term capital plan. The Housing Commission has awarded a contract to a consultant to assist with the creation of this plan. This will be completed this year. The long-term capital plan will also provide a foundation for the development of an optimization plan for future capital needs.
Our next objective under Goal 1 involves the number of days that our Housing Commission-owned affordable rental housing units are vacant. It's important to note that currently our portfolio is at 99% occupancy rate, and the shortage of affordable rental housing in the city is well documented. We've heard about it all morning. So the demand for affordable housing units owned by the Housing Commission is significant. I'm pleased to tell you that we have reduced the average number of days vacant for a Housing Commission unit from 50 days to 24 days. So that means by the time somebody leaves to somebody moves in, we're in under a month. That helps optimize the use of buildings and our income and get somebody housed quickly. This has surpassed the 20% decrease in this objective, so huge kudos to the Property Management Department for this. The San Diego Housing Commission is a leading partner in efforts to address homelessness in the city and administers the city's homeless shelters and services programs. In these roles, the Housing Commission set an objective to take steps to maximize the capacity to address homelessness in the city of San Diego. Toward this objective, we're currently utilizing performance measurement reports to track providers' compliance with program outcomes and support the full utilization of the funds awarded to homeless programs. With these reports, we're also able to divert unexpended funds to other programs that need them and are able to use them efficiently. Increasing housing opportunities for low-income and homeless San Diegos is the second major goal of the strategic plan. The Housing Commission set the objective to create 2,000 units of mixed-income and affordable housing over the 4 years of the next strategic plan. The developments and real estate transactions this board has approved in the first year alone will create more than 410 affordable units and more than 340 market rate units, which include manager's units. These units make up approximately 38% of the four-year objective in the first year alone. In addition to creating and preserving affordable housing units, the Housing Commission creates housing opportunities by administering federal Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Rental Assistance. We set an ambitious objective to achieve a voucher utilization rate of 102%. As of July 2017, our current lease rate is at 100%. Actually, it's 100.23%. This surpasses the HUD standard of 90%. Significantly, and the 98% utilization from non-moving to work agencies. Huge achievement. The Housing Commission's mission statement includes the saying, provide opportunities to improve the quality of life for the families the Housing Commission serves. One of the ways we do this is through the programs at the Housing Commission's Achievement Academy on the first floor here. In fiscal year 2017, the overall average hourly income of Housing Commission Achievement Academy participants increased approximately 8% from $11.62 to $12.57. One of the Achievement Academy's new programs, which assists single-parent households, helped participants achieve a similar increase from $12 per hour to $12.97 per hour. This program is open to single parents with children 16 years of age and younger and focuses on raising and stabilizing credit scores, increasing income, and opportunities such as a matched savings program and mentoring. Raising income and self-awareness through enrollment in education and employment programs is also an important part of the Two Generation San Diego programs and the Resident Opportunity and Self-Sufficiency programs. 159 families are in this programs. Our hats off to the Achievement Academy staff who are working extremely hard on these innovative projects. Our next objective under Goal 2 is to provide housing opportunities for homeless San Diegans through rapid rehousing and permanent supportive housing. These types of permanent housing opportunities are essential to our homelessness populations. And to the Homelessness Action Plan, Housing First San Diego, which was presented to this board in April. Since the launch of this phase of Housing First San Diego on July 1st, 2017, we have provided rental assistance to 34 households through the Moving Home Rapid Rehousing Program. In addition, on August 1st, 2017, we issued a notice of funding availability for the first $10 million in development funds that will be awarded to create permanent supportive housing. Up to 325 federal rental housing vouchers are also included in this NOFA. The impact of our rapid rehousing efforts, which includes 50 of the Housing Commission's own units dedicated for this purpose, is evident in one of our homeless family stories, and I'd like to share that quick video with you now.
I was really hard on myself because, you know, what kind of man isn't, like, taking care of his family the way that they're supposed to be taken care of? Like, my girl shouldn't have to sleep in a car. You know, my wife, who just had my second child, shouldn't have to go through that in a car. Well, we were living in North Carolina after getting out of the military. And my wife's grandma got hit by a car, like, late January. And she's 62. And that was kind of hard. And she lives alone. So, you know, when she called us and she told us what was going on, we just kind of dropped everything and came out here to help.
My credit is terrible. So, you know, we couldn't get an apartment. Drew didn't have a job. I didn't have a job. Like, there was just a lot going on. We didn't have any type of stability.
This way? We got here February 6th. She was born February 27th.
Yes, I went to labor February 27th, and then a little bit after that, we were sleeping in our car, so.
I know for her, it wasn't tough for her because, you know, she's with mommy and daddy, and we're just having a sleepover. You know, that felt good to know that they don't actually realize that we're homeless and we're struggling, and, you know, mommy and daddy are trying their best to, you know, find some type of stability and protection for them.
Which led us to go to the San Diego Housing Commission. We got two kids. We're trying to, you know, get a place. So I originally was trying to sign up for Section 8, and they informed me that the wait list is like 10 to 12 years. So I looked at her, and I was all like, you know, me and my husband are both veterans. We can't find jobs. Like, there's nothing else. And so the woman at the front desk, which one day I have to bring her flowers, she was like, "You're veterans, hold on." And she went to the back and she handed me a paper with the Housing Our Heroes program. We were eligible for the program that they had, and we went from there. It took us 35 days to get into this apartment. I jumped into his arms, actually.
I picked her up.
We looked around with the manager.
The property manager.
And then when she left, I jumped in his arms. I was all happy. This furniture was actually given to us through the San Diego Housing Commission, their moving voucher. They brought in this couch, the table, two chairs, a twin-size bed, a dresser, and a nightstand.
It's good, you know, it feels like home. And we're trying to make it our home as much as we possibly can.
Nobody ever made us feel bad, even now. You know, nobody ever made us feel like we were less than nothing. Nobody ever made us feel
like... It wasn't even as if we were receiving a handout, you know. It was almost as if because of our service to our country, like, it was something we deserved. Especially because we had fallen on such hard times.
But it was more like talking to a friend, like my friends helping me out to get on my feet.
And I think I definitely have to thank my wife and kids. Because in that situation, like I was telling you, you know, it's hard for me being a man and not being able to provide for them and do for them. And, you know, my wife on a regular basis is keeping me up. You know, she's my support. And my kids, you know, looking in their faces and, you know, that's unconditional love on a regular, like no other. So yeah.
No, you're trying to make me cry.
Yeah, a little.
No, not today.
I love that line. She says, "Not today." All right. Almost done. Our efforts to provide additional affordable housing opportunities for low-income and homeless San Diegans are affected by decisions made at the City Council, as well as Sacramento and Washington, D.C., which makes our next major goal so important. The Housing Commission maintains a careful watch on emerging issues and trends that could impact the families and individuals we assist through our major programs. Last year, the Housing Commission submitted Measure M for the November 8 general election, fulfilling our responsibility as the manager of the City of San Diego's compliance with Article 34 of the California State Constitution. More than 66% of the City of San Diego voters approved ballot Measure M in the election on Tuesday, November 8, 2016, to increase the capacity to construct additional affordable housing rental units in the City of San Diego. And at the state level, the Housing Commission is collaborating with the City of San Diego, Assemblymember Todd Gloria, and Senator Tony Atkins on AB 1637, which is currently pending in the state Senate after unanimous approval in the Assembly. This bill will allow two housing authorities, San Diego and Santa Clara, to provide gap financing loans to developers of middle-income developments. This would be in a five-year pilot project, and it would really be a feather in the cap for San Diego to participate in this. These are developments with 40% of the units affordable to low-income households and at least 10% of the units affordable to middle-income households, up to 150% of the area median income. On the federal level, On the federal level, Mr. Gentry is in Washington, D.C. today at the invitation of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus to discuss the federal budget for housing and urban development. And twice last year, Mr. Gentry testified before congressional committees regarding the San Diego model of addressing affordable housing. In collaboration with Congressman Scott Peters, Mr. Gentry sent a letter to HUD supporting the revision of the antiquated formula used to calculate federal funding for homelessness programs. With the next objective under this goal, we're expanding the sources of funding to support our programs. This past year, we took measures to create an SDHC-affiliated nonprofit to establish a different means of collecting private and philanthropic contributions and providing opportunities to apply for grants that are restricted to 501c3 organizations. We've also completed the first phase in creating the San Diego Transit-Oriented Development Fund to capitalize a mix of private, public, and philanthropic funds and provide below-market interest rate loans for the creation and preservation of affordable housing near transit. Turning our attention to funds we have received, throughout fiscal year 2017, we were awarded $1.2 million in new grant funding through seven grants from a mixture of sources, including Wells Fargo, the HUD Continuum of Care Transition Age Youth Rapid Rehousing Project, City Community Development, Water Conservation Garden, etc. We've also secured $60,000 from banks to support the City-County Reinvestment Task Force. I previously touched on the importance of partnerships in our efforts to address homelessness in the City of San Diego, and our next objective calls for collaboration to assist specific populations of homeless San Diegans. Through collaboration with the Young Women's Christian Association, the YWCA of San Diego County, we're able to reach all genders of domestic violence survivors. We also worked with Father Joe's, Home Start, and South Bay Community Services to institute a transitional age youth program in San Diego that provides short and medium-term rental assistance with supportive services for youths ages 18 to 24. Throughout this four-year strategic program, we'll return to this board annually each September to provide updates to you about our continuing progress. Thank you, commissioners, for your guidance and your support through this plan and for allowing us to share our accomplishments with you this morning. This has been a huge effort at all levels, all staff of the Housing Commission. Commissioner Moraga, we thank you very, very much for your oversight and guidance on this, and we're extremely proud of our achievements to date. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ruane. Appreciate the update on the strategic plan. This is critically important. We want to make sure that we're leaning in trying to stay on track with the goals that we've set for ourselves as an organization. And if you see pride in the people's faces out there that work at this organization, you know it's because they do just that. They're leaning in, trying to constantly innovate and looking to see how we can better this organization. And it's no surprise that when you you have the opportunity to go to some of these national conferences that this organization is recognized as best in class, constantly looking forward on how we can improve, how can we create greater efficiencies, how can we stretch the monies that we manage ourselves to be able to provide the housing that we're tasked with doing. Question, have we made this presentation to the mayor and city council yet?
No, we have not.
Do we have it planned?
No, we do not, but I'm sure we will be doing that.
It's important to get feedback from them on what they, how they feel that we're doing. Any areas where we're falling short?
To the first part, I'm sure Mr. Gentry will love to talk about this at the city council level, so I'm pretty sure we'll be there with this. To the second, are we falling short in any areas? I would say none in this, in these sections. What we do is we track through the project management office, which is a tremendous asset that we have. There are a couple of people who keep us on track with each of our initiatives, and we measure our progress. I believe, and Jeff, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, that we are ahead of every one of the expectations. So we're year one into this, and we're more than 25% on all of them. There are a couple that start slowly and will gain more momentum towards the end. And so I guess you could say we're behind, but they have to build in order for us to achieve the goals. So the challenges are going to be funding, I think, as we watch what's going on in Washington. And as we, you know, this is why we're happy Mr. Gentry is there today, because even though he's doing one presentation before the Hispanic caucus, he's also pounding on doors and seeing many other of our friends back there to continue to have the money come to San Diego. Jeff, do you have anything to add to that that I...
No, very well covered. I think your point about funding is important. We do have some initiatives, for example, the 102% utilization of our vouchers. That's something that we are on target. We will accomplish unless funding is cut significantly and we aren't able to do that, at which point we would certainly report that out to you.
I would add that probably the homelessness is the biggest challenge that we face right now, and those numbers are hard fought. Melissa Peterman and her team, the Homeless Housing Innovations team, they work extremely hard, and that's something that takes extra effort from many departments to help them get to those goals. It's an uphill battle.
It is an uphill battle, and there's times when we're all discouraged by it, but when you look at the amount of new units that we're bringing into the mix, including today's action that we took, it gives us some ray of hope that we're going to be able to have some, we're having some impact on those needs that we have there. Commissioners, other questions that you may have, Ms. Davis?
I don't really have a question, but Deb, I want to thank you for an exceptional presentation that helps to remind me and others of just a portion of what the San Diego Housing Commission does. I'm so proud to be a small part of it, and I thank you for this presentation.
Well, you're very welcome, but I do have to make sure that you all know Scott Marshall and the communications team wrote everything I said.
Full disclosure.
Well, you read it well.
real important, especially Commissioner Benvenuto and Commissioner Walsh, that you get this insight, the roadmap that this organization has under the direction of Commissioner Moraga, and how we're keeping it at the forefront. We want to continue to see how we're doing, good and bad, right? We want to make sure that we want to keep ourselves accountable and continue to drive improvements here as this organization. Any other questions or thoughts?
Yep. Just two very quick questions, Ms. Ryan. Goal 2, Objective 3, objectives of that nature, would you be able to pursue those agendas without the flexibility you have in Move to Work funding?
It would be a challenge. We are extremely lucky to be a Move to Work agency. And, I think that this makes all the difference in the world.
Thank you. One more. As the newbie, trying to make sure I understand everything and slowing the train down a little bit at first, I'll try to help you speed up later. The SDHC-affiliated 501c3, that's not Housing Development Partners. This is a different fundraising nonprofit that's being created, correct?
Yes, it is. Okay, it's a very exciting initiative.
Thank you.
Look for some an event that we're looking at for 2018 to be able to launch it in a very public way here locally and hopefully be able to generate some revenue out of that. Other thoughts? Questions. All right, Mr. Wayne, thank you very much. Appreciate the presentation today. Commissioners, that is the agenda items that we had before us today. Any further closing thoughts prior to concluding the meeting? Hearing none, our meeting's adjourned. Thanks.